Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of the hearts of your people assembled here would be acceptable to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We come this morning to a topic that many preachers are afraid to approach. And before we read our text and give you our title, I want to remind you of the account in the Gospels where Jesus was teaching in the temple. And they brought a woman to him who had been caught in adultery. And they said to him, "Master, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses' law says she ought to be stoned to death. What do you say?" But Jesus didn't say anything. He stooped down and started writing in the sand. And they pressed him on the issue. So the Lord Jesus said to them, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone at her." And they began to leave, beginning with the oldest. After a while, there was nobody standing there but the woman. Jesus said, "Woman, where art thou accusers?" She said, "There are none, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." Our topic this morning, our sermon title, is "Tattoos Are Forbidden." The text is Leviticus 19, 26 to 37. "You shall not eat anything with the blood, nor shall you practice divination or soothsaying. You shall not shave around the sides of your beard, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beards. You shall not make any cutting in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. Do not prostitute your daughter, cause her to be a harlot, lest the land fall into harlotry and the land become full of wickedness. You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. If any stranger sojourns in your land, you shall not mistreat him, but the stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You shall do no injustice in judgment, in measurement of length, weight, or volume. You shall have just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them. I am the Lord." In this text, seven times the phrase is repeated, "I am the Lord." This is for emphasis and to remind the people who would read and hear this text that God is the Lord of all. He has a perfect right to dictate what our moral actions should be. He has a right to tell us what we should and should not do. I am the Lord. The Lord has authority over everyone, whether they know it or not. How is God glorified by permanent markings on one's body? All of mankind is responsible to maintain their bodies as much as possible in a healthy state, and tattoos can be unhealthy. In the Leviticus text, Leviticus 29:28, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 6:9, we read, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit, which are God's. One of the marvelous things about Christianity is that when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us we are new creations. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. And some of us come to Christ after we have been in the world for a long time. And in the world, we acted like worldly people. But if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. But I want to remind you now that when you do come to Christ, your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. And we are not to do anything that defiles the temple. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The question is, how is God glorified by tattooing images or marks or names or whatever on my body? In Colossians 3:17, we read, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it to the glory of God. Now, I would also remind you of Paul's words as he began his teaching in Romans on consecration. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To preach the whole counsel of God, we know, is God's will. And we know from the study of the Scriptures that it is not God's will for us to mark our bodies up. It is not God's will for anyone to permanently mark their body with a tattoo or what is called scarification. There's a thing that many dark-skinned people do. They make marks in their body and they put an irritant in the scratch or whatever so that it makes a raised scar. And you can do designs that way, and there are a lot of really dark-skinned people that do that. Tattoos are really common today. If you watch basketball, you will see that most of the players in the NBA have tattoos. And you can't see that in the football players or the baseball players because they're pretty well covered up. But why is it that so many people have that today? Well, beloved, we are in a post-Christian era. And in this post-Christian era, there are very few people who know the Scriptures. But not only are there very few people today who know the Scriptures, there are very few preachers today who are bold enough to preach it. One of the things that I've shared with you a number of times is that God has graced us in this church to preach the whole counsel of God. There isn't anything in the Bible on the back burner. Everything comes up front. And if you have a problem with it, your problem really isn't with me. This is the Word of God. God says, you ought to present your body holy and acceptable to Him. That's God's judgment, not my judgment. Now, the major question in regard to this is, how can external permanent markings on the body glorify God, who has given us a body according to His divine will? Well, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is sinful to do this. The tattoo parlors today are making a lot of money. And it's just really vogue today to do that, but there was a time when it wasn't. I've written a meditation on tattooing. And in the meditation, I give you some background. According to the High Beam Encyclopedia, tattoo is marking of the skin with punctures into which pigment is rubbed. The word originates from the Tahitian tatau, to mark. The term is sometimes extended to scarification, which consists of skin incisions into which irritants may be rubbed to produce a permanent raised scar. The modern method of tattooing employs electric needles. Puncture tattooing reached its most elaborate and artistic development among the Maori of New Zealand and among the Japanese, who perfected the use of color. It was introduced in Europe by sailors. In modern Western cultures, it has been alternately regarded as a somewhat vulgar practice and as a sign of high fashion. It has been used by modern states as an instrument of control, as in identification of criminals and political prisoners. It's also been used to identify racehorses. In medicine, it may be used to remove birthmarks by injecting pigment of color of the nature of a natural skin. Tattooing has been banned in some areas for health reasons. Unclean needles can transmit hepatitis or HIV, the virus leading to AIDS. It was forbidden by Muhammad, and the Catholic Church Council condemned it in 787 AD. There are some societies that consider it sacrificial. The psychiatric implications of tattooing was noted by the American Family Physicians in May of 1990. The article says that the presence of a tattoo on a person should alert the physician to the possibility of an underlying psychiatric disorder. Tattoos are thought to gratify one's most psychological need, including assertions of personal identity, ego bolstering, identification with a group or family, romance, romantic connections, masochistic self-mutilation, and so on. God has mercifully revealed what is good and right. It hath been told thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord doth require of thee, only to love justice, to do to do mercy and to walk humbly before your God. Malachi 6:8 tells us that our propriety is to walk humbly before God. And we are not walking humbly before God when we violate any of God's institutions, any of His statutes, any of His commandments. We are walking humbly with God when we are obedient to God. We are not walking humbly with God when we are disobedient. How can we be obedient to God if we don't know what God requires of us? And we cannot know what God requires of us unless we get into God's Word and study His Word. The eating of blood, the practice of divination and soothsaying are forbidden. And in the context of this forbidding of these things, divination. Now, divination is the use of magic power to look into the future, or fortune telling. Now, we have in our society today a lot of this going on, a lot of fortune telling going on. In fact, fortune tellers, some of them are filthy rich, telling people what they want to hear. Now, no one can tell the future. Only God knows what's going to happen in the future. But people seem to love to be deceived. And fortune tellers are deceiving people. That's all they're doing. They're telling you what they think you want to hear. And you pay them for it. My, my. Also, soothsayers are people who look into the future. You have some soothsaying in the newspaper every day in this country. You have the astrologers. They're soothsayers. That's what they are. And there are many people who profess faith in Christ who will not start their day before they look at their astrological sign in the newspaper. Now, what on earth has that got to do with anything? Let me tell you something, beloved. The moon and the sun and the stars do not control my life. God controls my life. I'm going to live as long as God will let me live, and when God is determined for me to die, I'm going to die. The future is known only by God. God knows the future. We don't know what the future is going to be. You may get stuff in the mail from Wall Street and the stock market and all of that, and the people are telling you about all of these projections and stuff. They're guessing. They don't know what the stock market is going to do. They're guessing. We have politicians who are talking about doing all of these great things until they get into office. And when they get into office, they find out that the reality is they can't do very much. But they made a whole lot of promises before they got there. They don't know. Israel's honor to God included leaving their beards alone. Why do we see this in the scriptures? Well, because the people that God was throwing out of the land used to trim their beards in such a way that people would know that they were grieving over something. They did it for the dead. Israel was not supposed to do that. The heathen practices that are mentioned in our text today were all done by the people in the land. And God said the land is defiled by the sins of the people. Now, what happens is that we equate sin on a personal level. Well, if I committed sin, I committed a sin. But what the Bible tells us is if I commit a sin, my sin is contributing to the pollution of the land. My sin is contributing to the defilement of the land. My personal sin. And what is happening in America today? We have become a sinful nation big time. Big time. You can turn on the television in prime time and you can see some things on television now that 25 years ago were unheard of. We have you know, we have this abortion thing going on. We have this homosexual thing going on. The ex-governor of New Jersey has written a book on his sexual escapades. He's a homosexual, and he's going to sell that book and probably make millions of dollars on it. And I'm telling you, Christians, you shouldn't buy that book. You shouldn't support that man and his efforts. And how he ever got to be a governor, I don't know. But that's the way it is in politics, you know. All permanent markings on the body are prohibited in Scripture. The practice among some of the nations was for facial and hand markings for the dead. They did this in the land that God was getting ready to give to Israel. God's people are not without hope in the world, and we don't need to put markings on our bodies indicating that there is some hope. Our hope comes from within. We really don't need that. And one of the things that I have been wanting to ask someone with all of these massive tattoos, I haven't approached anyone about this personally, but it's always in my mind to do that. Why do you have all of these tattoos on your body? The ex-heavyweight champion, Mike Tyson, has the left side of his face tattooed. Well, tattoos are more prevalent among light-skinned people than dark-skinned people. But today we have many dark-skinned people getting tattoos that you can't hardly see. And they pay for that. The primary question in this discussion, how is God glorified by permanently defacing one's body with a tattoo? The Christian's body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You cannot believe on Christ until the Holy Spirit gives you the inner power to believe. And once that happens, your body, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is not indwelling you, you can't believe. And when you do believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we should not do anything to defile the temple. And the Bible says very clearly, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So then the question would be, how is God glorified by me putting a permanent mark on my body? Now, some people try to justify it by having Jesus written on their body. But Jesus written on your body does not mean that you're saved. Because Jesus said, there's going to come a day when many are going to say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out devils in your name and done many miracles in your name? And then I'm going to say to you, be gone from me. I never knew you. So putting Jesus, marking Jesus on your body doesn't mean a thing. It's marking Jesus on your soul that counts. Lord Jesus, here I am, a filthy, wretched sinner. Come into my life and make me the kind of person you want me to be, and I'll serve you. That's what's important with respect to our relationship to Jesus, not having his name printed on our body, not having a cross printed on our body. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious to me. It's in my heart. I don't need to wear a big cross on my chest like some preachers do. I don't do that. I don't do that. I would much rather conduct myself in the world in such a way that you see Christ in me rather than looking at the big cross on my chest. Whatever you do, the Bible says, in word or deed, do all to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. How is the Lord Jesus Christ glorified by tattoos? Well, the only reasonable answer to that is that he isn't. God has given you a body according to his divine will. Now, the way the world measures beauty is not the way God measures beauty. The Bible says that, you know, the world judges you from the outside, but God looks on the heart. What is your heart like? That's what's important, not what people see. Because, beloved, you may be young and shapely and beautiful now, but just keep on living. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. The reason that I have a rather long text today, because when you start to study the Bible, you find that the context has an awful lot to do with what you are reading in a specific text. When you look at this text where God says that tattoos are forbidden, you see some other things that are forbidden that are of like value. Holiness is commanded of God's people, without which no one will see the Lord. Holiness is commanded, so therefore, don't prostitute your daughters. In the context of don't tattoo your body. Don't prostitute your daughter. Don't make her a harlot. Because if you make a harlot, the whole land is going to fall into harlotry. Honor the Sabbath, oh boy, and reverence my sanctuary. Beloved, you can leave this church today and buy anything you want to buy and do almost anything you could have done yesterday. Because the world no longer honors God on the Sabbath, on His Sabbath. The world is saying Sunday is a day for you to catch up on everything that's behind. Get the house cleaned up and get your lawn cut and do all of that stuff. The Bible says one day in seven ought to be the Lord's day. One day in seven ought to be the Lord's day. Now there are some of you, some of our church members who have to work on Sunday. Well, if you have to work on Sunday and you're scheduled to work on Sunday, you cannot legally be scheduled to work on Sunday permanently. Legally, you can't do that. But many people don't know it. And if you don't know, the employers take advantage of you. But in New Jersey, you cannot be legally required to work permanently on Sundays. The Seventh-day Adventists get Saturday off. Christians ought to get Sunday off. Because we need a day to honor God. You're in a workaday world and you're consumed with working and your occupation, whatever you're doing all week. You ought to have one day where you can put that stuff aside and think about what's going to happen to you when you die. Where did I come from? What am I doing here? And where am I going when this is all over? And you discover that truthfully from the Word of God. God says, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man. Children, young people, God says that those of us who have acquired some age ought to be honored by you. Now, it doesn't happen in this church, but there are some places I have been where children would address me as Bob. And I'm older, old enough to be their mama and daddy's mom, daddy. I was raised in the South. And the culture in which I was raised is completely different from the culture that I live in now. When I was a child, I would not dare address an adult by their name. I just wouldn't do that. Because if I did and got caught, I was going to get a thrashing. It was yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, ma'am. No, sir. My teacher's name was Mrs. Barker, and I called her Mrs. Barker. I had a Professor Thompson was one of my teachers, and it was always Professor Thompson. You didn't dare call an adult by their first name. And you didn't answer yes or no. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. And I think that that was a good thing. It was a good thing, you know, because the Bible says that we should honor aged men. You read the book of Job, there was a young man named Elihu who was witness to the conversation between Job and his three friends, and Elihu would not speak until the old men were finished speaking. You see, when you start to study the Bible, you find out how you ought to conduct yourself. You find out a lot of things that you don't know. Now, I know that some of you here today have never heard a sermon, or you have never heard from the church that tattoos are sinful, because the church don't preach it. We preach a sermon here on sexual morality. Now, the churches are not preaching sexual morality today, so we have teenagers, 13, 14 years old, engaging in sex, and some of them are doing it with their parents' knowledge and permission. Well, let me tell you something, young folks. You don't have a right to sex until you can afford to pay the price. That is, when you have sex, you ought to be able to fully support the consequences of that action. And a child deserves a mother and a father. I know that's hard. I know nobody's talking that way today. I know that. But I'm telling you what God says. God says in His Word that the marriage bed alone is undefiled, and I can't tell you that enough. The marriage bed alone is undefiled, and sex is for marriage, for people who are married to each other. Oh boy. Amen, Walt. Not only shall you rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of the old man, but you shall not vex a stranger. Strangers come in, you should treat them just like you treat everybody else. You should love your enemies as you love yourself. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says don't be partial. Don't have just weights and unjust weights. Have just weights. Be upright. You know, there's some people that you meet, and you can tell right away that this person is of questionable character. That should never be the judgment of a person who meets a Christian. When a person meets a Christian, the aura that the Christian presents should be honest and upright, forthright. That's the way it should be. Tattoos are forbidden. They are affronts to the wise providence of Almighty God. But here's the hope. The blood of Jesus covers every sin. There's not a sin you have committed. There's not a sin you can commit that the blood of Jesus does not cover. The Bible said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know if you have a tattoo or not. That's not my point. I don't need to know. But if you do, and you're laying claim to Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you ought to repent. Lord, I did this in ignorance. I didn't know. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And don't do it again. Jesus told the woman who was caught in adultery, where are your accusers? He said, no one, Lord. He said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Amen. Our Father and our God, we are so thankful for your word that tells us not only how to acquire our place in heaven, but how to live while we're here on earth. By your grace, Lord, give us the strength that we need to do your will. Help us, Lord, to live holy lives, not to prostitute ourselves with any of the things that we have looked at in this text today. And bless us according to your good and perfect will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.